On the next episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
Today is a wine show, and actually today is a sparkling wine show, so hooray.
Hooray.
Yeah, it's...
You have something French?
I am very aroused.
Here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. From Scharfenberger, we have the Scharfenberger Rosé, the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence, the Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc. We have the Perrier-Jouët Blanc de Blanc, the Perrier-Jouët Grand Brut,
the Perrier-Jouët. The who?
The Perrier-Jouët.
Perrier-Jouët.
Yeah.
You flirted on the second one. You didn't drink that much champagne.
The Grand Brut, the Perrier-Jouët Blason Rosé. And from Lanson, we have the Lanson Le Green Bio-Organic and the Lanson Le Vintage 2012.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Nobody's
going to challenge that?
No, you know,
I'm not going to challenge.
At 2 a.m. last night, I was on Apple TV starting Severance Season 2.
2 a.m., I was watching Monty Python's Holy Grail. So,
you know, I have that on DVD somewhere, but I don't know where my DVD player is.
I have the entire Monty Python.
So do I.
Everything on a DVD kit.
Like, I've got
all
the
episodes,
thing.
All the movies, everything.
It's I haven't seen my DVD player in years.
You
I don't even know
would.
Where I put it. Of course we would, dude.
I was watching Wall Street Week, but I cut off the end because I didn't want to know how it turned out.
You're broke. Never mind. That's how it ends. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Justin.
Oh, good morning,
good old boy, Justin.
Bob.
Whatever. Yeah. Made Man Maury.
Pleasure to be here.
Good morning, Bob. Very bubbling with excitement to be here today.
And what's his name, Harmeet?
What's his name? I've got good old boy on my
good
shirt.
Good old boy, Made Man, whatever the hell you are.
I'm the only one wearing the official shirt for the show today.
What's the anchor for? What do you like? You trying to pick up sailors?
I went to the
Sailor
Rum Congress a couple weeks ago.
How was it?
The black tot pin. It's getting smaller, but the quality is still great. There's some wonderful producers at Rum Congress.
Cool.
I was going to make a video about it, but I just got so busy.
There's so many good rums that most Americans will never see. That's the sad thing.
Oh, I'm carrying a lot of the rum at my store now because people like Florida Rum Society are really pushing it in Florida.
Really?
Yeah. I've got all those, you know, wonderful, like, funky stuff coming out of Jamaica and Barbados. And let me not talk about the store. But you know, anyway, the rum selection is starting to rival the bourbons.
Well, I would argue that you can interchange the two, especially in a cocktail. A lot of people are making rum-based old-fashioned.
Yes.
And since we know that all of the color comes from the barrel, mm-hmm. and a very large percentage, we can debate about that, of the flavor, you can see where a barrel-aged spirit, regardless of what the substrate is, be it rum or be it whiskey, mash, they start to approach similar notes when you're sipping.
Yes, as you age them longer. Yeah.
And so I find people who love brown spirits, they can drink almost any brown spirit as they age.
But the problem is, in this country, we have such bad rum.
Well, you know what Homer says.
If it's brown, drink it down.
Although, you know, we've gone off on a tangent. Today is not about brown. Yeah.
So today is a wine show, and actually today is a sparkling wine show, so hooray.
Hooray.
Yeah, it's...
You have something French?
I am very aroused.
Well, Jean-Luc Picard is ostensibly French, but he's a British man. Come on. Where's the French sound effects?
Chateau Picard. Come on. Yeah.
I know.
Well, today we're going to be drinking sparkling wine, so I am damn excited. So here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. From Scharfenberger, we have the Scharfenberger Rosé, the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence, the Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc. We have the Perrier-Jouët Blanc de Blanc, the Perrier-Jouët Grand Brut, the Perrier-Jouët.
The who?
The Perrier-Jouët.
Perrier-Jouët.
Yeah.
You flirted on the second one. You didn't drink that much champagne.
And the Perrier, yeah, the Grand Brut, the Perrier-Jouët Blason Rosé. And from Lanson, we have the Lanson Le Green Bio Organic and the Lanson Le Vintage 2012.
I'm very aroused.
Very happy today. So we're going to go to our sips ratings. And we're going to have our...
Why?
Yeah, I know. We're going to have our... Okay, fine. Justin, just do it.
All right. Well, today I'm in California state of mind. I'm your ex-president, Bill Clinton.
That has something to do with California, apparently.
He's from Arkansas, dude.
Yep.
Minor detail.
All right. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Ganga Din, water. Ganga Din, bring water. Bring water.
That's what she said.
Two sips. Nosh, but what else do you have, Hillary?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. That's interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
Monica?
You can't tell we're all laughing on the inside.
Yeah. Monica Lewinsky.
Four sips. Let's keep this sacred to ourselves and pour me another.
That's classified.
That was definitely what he told Monica Lewinsky. Let's keep this secret to ourselves, yeah.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good. It's like McDonald's. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The good old days.
Yeah, Slick Willy. What are you going to do? Okay, so. Man, what are we at? 6 minutes already in the toilet. Way to go. So we're going to have Maury tell us about our first wines.
Thank you, Bob. The history of Scharfenberger Cellars begins in 1981 in the heart of Mendocino's Anderson Valley. Situated only miles from the coastal influences of the Pacific Ocean, Scharfenberger Cellars also enjoys the deep soils and sunshine within the protected valley. Originally founded by John Scharfenberger, the winery entered a new chapter as a member of the Roederer Collection in 2004. The winery's commitment to preserving and nourishing the land runs deep and has been a guiding principle since the early days. In 1992, Scharfenberger Cellars granted 63 acres to the Anderson Valley Land Trust. Today, the entirety of their 120-acre estate is sustainably farmed and fish-friendly farming certified. All of Scharfenberger's wines are made in the two-step method traditionnel process where the wines are individually bottle fermented before being riddled and disgorged.
You almost said method champenois.
It's really the same.
It's
is
the
it
same
not?
Thing. Yeah. I don't know why they changed the traditional.
I wanted to say method champenois and I
was
startled. So yes, it's method champenois or method traditionnel. I believe they are synonymous.
We.
Approximately 80% of their wines undergo malolactic fermentation, and it is a signature of the Scharfenberger style and contributes to the wine's rich, creamy texture. Every bottle ages a minimum of 24 months on the lees, and after disgorgement is aged on the cork for 6 months. The first selection today is the Scharfenberger Rosé. It is a non-vintage, coming in at 12.5% ABV from Mendocino County. It is 55% Chardonnay, 45% Pinot Noir. The fruit balance and color are achieved by adding between 4 and 5% of Pinot Noir wine to the blend before undergoing second fermentation in the bottle. This wine is a very, very pale rosé color. It's crystal clear. It's got very nice, fine, beautiful bubbles. On the nose, lots of fresh raspberry jam, wild strawberries, and a hint of cream-covered pastry. On the palate, the flavors are layered. There's fruit. There's definitely pastry. There's a bit of yeast. Harm, don't you think? It's just lovely.
Yeah,
I find that it's luscious. It's mouth coating. I do agree with the creaminess. Now, a lot of times we think mallow will give that buttery flavor. Here, it just really gives more of a creaminess, a mouth texture that's really quite pleasant. This wine has improved considerably in the glass. When I first poured it, it was perhaps a little
blistering cold. Yeah.
Thank you. It was extremely cold. So number one, please don't drink your champagne blisteringly cold. It should be drunk just below room temperature. And secondly, the air,
both Florida warming, room temperature or France room temperature?
Florida room temperature.
Oh, okay. No. I'm
Antarctica room temperature.
And I really find that the air and the combination of warming up has done it well. Again, beautifully long finish. This wine is delicious. It's very well made, and I enjoyed it very much. What did you think, Justin?
So on the nose, I got rose petals, lemon, and like creme. On the palate, it was fruity and refreshing. And the finish was like bready and lightly chalky, but as it warmed up, the chalkiness kind of went away. What do you think, Bob?
Just so everybody knows, we do, whenever we have, especially a sparkling wine or white wine, we always start it out with it cold, probably colder than it needs to be.
Well, but most people drink their champagne cold.
Because so many people do, exactly. So we're trying to, I mean, is it proper? I don't think so. But so many people do drink it blistering cold. So we start out with that, and it takes a couple hours to do a 52-minute show. So we let it sit, and we let it warm up, and we let it change, and we let it evolve. And it's a different wine than when it was when we first opened it.
And I think patience, again, we extol this virtue on a regular basis, but patience will reward you.
Yeah, drink a glass over an hour, you'll get a lot more out of it.
It's absolutely delicious. There's some lovely fresh berries on it. A little bit of a citrus, almost a Meyer's lemon on the back palate.
I'm getting orange peel.
It's got a nice roundness to it. It's got a good mouth coat. That mallow really seems to round it out. I think it's excellent. I was stunned how good it was.
I must admit, I never really used the word mallow or malolactic fermentation in champagne in the same sentence before. But in this case, it doesn't give the buttery note that you might expect, like in a Chardonnay. It gives that rounded, beautiful viscosity and creamy mouthfeel.
Well, so the acidity of champagne is so much higher.
Yeah.
But this, the thing, I mean, I think everything you guys have said is right. It's gotten much better.
Shocking.
I'm getting the raspberry jam and the strawberry, but I'm getting more orange peel rather than lemon. And again, the roundness and the fruit, it's so well balanced. The acid bounces all that mallow out. And it's got a medium-long finish, which nobody said. I think we need to raise the score up, I think, right, from our original notes. Yeah,
I mean, it's...
And there's a hint gotten, of spice coming out.
Yeah, I mean, it, you said it was great petal? In the glass.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up discussing the Scharfenberger Rosé Non-Vintage. Anybody else have anything else to say before I throw a rating on this?
The quality of this wine has gone up over the years so much. I used to not enjoy Scharfenberger. It looks like when Roederer bought it, they really improved the quality. Yeah. I mean, I've always loved Roederer Estate. Roederer Estate champagnes, tastes just as good as the French stuff. I mean, Rotary State sparkling wine from California, Anderson Valley, tastes just as good as the French stuff for half the price.
Yeah.
This is a little bit less.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's amazing. It's
a lot less. Yeah. It's
yeah, I think that this is a huge value for a high quality rosé sparkling. I don't think you can find one for less money that tastes any better.
No.
I don't think you can find one for more money that's as
there's
good.
There's good Cremant coming out of Alsace, but it's not going to be the same grapes. It won't be the champagne grapes. They'll be using different things like, what am I thinking? They'll be using Riesling and they'll be using Fall Blanche and weird stuff like that.
Well, during the commercial, we were all talking about how we need to buy a few cases of some of the Scharfenberger. So we're going to be giving the Scharfenberger Rosé a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Bob, would you like to tell us about the next Scharfenberger one?
That takes us off to our next one, which is the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence. So it's non-vintage, 12.5% ABV. Mendocino County, it's a 60% Chardonnay, 40% Pinot Noir. Has a dosage of 8.5 grams per liter. On the nose, I get a toasted oak. I get apples and pears.
Harm, you have the bottle?
And I get white flowers. And then on the palate, hold on. This is the one we were discussing it before we actually started recording, how it's not sweet. It's just...
It smells sweet to me.
But it's sweeter than I was expecting as a brut, both on the nose and the palate. Just the slight edge, but, you know, it's more American in taste, I think. There's a brioche in here. There's like a lemon curd and a citrus note to it. Really well done. What'd you think, Harm?
It's a beautiful golden color. I got, when I first approached it, when it was really cold, I got like... toasty oak, toasted bread, and sweet candied nuts like candied pecans, but that's gone now. Now it's settled down. We've got that brioche note, that like toasted brioche. The candied nuts are gone, but there's still like an almond thing going on here. A balanced acidity, a little bit of citrus on the nose as well. On the palate, balanced acidity. You said lemon curd. I think that's a good call. I was thinking lemon peel, but you're right. It's lemon curd. Apples and
that
toast.
Creamy, lemony, curdy. Yeah.
Yeah, but as it's warmed up, it's gotten more creamy. Yeah. When it was colder.
It was sharp. It was sharp. Edgy. Yeah.
Medium short finish. That's the only thing I have to say against it.
Yeah. Mark? I mean, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said, Harm. I think it's very nicely done. I enjoyed it. I found this is more of a kind of an all-day sipper for me. This is just something you can just sit and relax and enjoy by the poolside. It's bright. It's refreshing. I liked it quite a lot. Justin?
So I thought the color was like a pretty light yellow. It was zesty. Lemony, tangerine, new car smell, and soapy on the nose. But
I didn't get that soapy note you're talking about.
It evaporated over time. But when I first opened it up, I got that. On the palate, it was very refreshing. I got bright green apple. On the finish, it started off with that green apple again and ended in some nice effervescence. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, did I say green? I said apple, but I think you're right. It's green apple. Maury?
Yeah, as I said, I agree with you. I think it's a little more green than red apple. Beautifully done.
All right. Well, we're going to be giving the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence a well-deserved 3 sips.
You know, this would be a great mimosa.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because people use Prosecco. I find Prosecco is way too sweet.
100%.
If you use champagne to make a mimosa.
Brut
champagne. It's so much better. I think I would use this.
It may be sacrilege to say this, but I think a Bellini.
You know what? That is sacrilege. Completely. Bellini is the peach nectar, you know, the Harry's Bar from Venice. Then that's always been Prosecco.
I think this would go with a Bellini, though.
Okay. I think there's other things. I've got customers who walk in and use buy Dom Perignon for their mimosas. I just
nice.
I mean, I can't really relate, but I'm happy to sell it to them.
Yeah,
but I would use this.
Damn right, happy to take dummy's money. So, all right, let's go on to our next wine. We're gonna have Justin tell us about that.
So now we get to talk about Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc. It's non-vintage, 12.5% alcohol by volume. It's from Mendocino County, California. It's 100% Chardonnay. The color for me was like a cream light yellow. The nose was a little fishy, more cream and tort pastry.
Did you wash your hands before you came in here?
Yeah. And on the palate, I got like
I'm a not making the dirty joke.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not going there. No, not going anywhere near that one.
On palate, I got lemon frosty and toasted bread points. The finish was like a lemony effervescence. What did you think, Harm?
You're not off. I think the fish note is weird to me. I got yeasty bready notes. Maybe when it was cold, it was smelling a little bit fishy to you. I have no idea. It didn't do that to me. I got golden apple again, orange peel and lemon peel. Maybe now it's, as it's warmed up, it's got some good spice coming out. It's the palate's just like the nose, a little more minerally. I got some floral notes, maybe lilac. I'm not sure. There's more floral notes on the palate, which is kind of weird. It's not on the nose. There's a minerally salinity to it, just a tint. Medium long finish, and that salinity comes back on the finish now that it's warmed up.
And what do the fish swim in?
Apparently, champagne. Yeah.
Yes. If they're lucky.
Yeah. Well, this is more limestone than salt, but go ahead. Maury, what do you think?
I like this one. I think this is a bit of a step up. If they're not aware, a Blanc de Blanc is typically a little bit of a step up. These are 100% Chardonnay. Blanc de Blanc referring to the fact that it's a white champagne made exclusively from white grapes. As you notice with the one above, there was 40% Pinot Noir, which is a red grape. And that is a whole nother story. But in any event, I think this wine has a level of sophistication that I really like. It's got a little bit more yeastiness, a little more brioche and bread notes to it, which I personally like. To me, this is more of an evening sipper, something I like to wind down with either as an aperitif or an after dinner with some cheese. I find the other one more bright and refreshing for during the day, but this is my kind of go-to to just sit down.
The minerality here, now that it's warmed up, I want oysters.
Yeah.
I'd pair this with oysters any day. Make a champagne-based mignonette with this champagne drink or this sparkling wine.
I agree, Harm.
But the minerality is to me the back end to the upfront yeastiness, and then the minerality just sort of carries through the mid palate.
But as it's warmed up, it's become more pronounced.
I agree.
Well, the minerality and the salinity come through, and if you handed this to me and told me this came from France, I would 100% believe you.
Yeah, the quality here is. I mean, I used to not love Scharfenberger. I mean, Roeder Estate was my go-to American sparkling wine because Roeder makes Cristal. They know how to make champagne, and their American stuff was always as good as the French stuff and cheaper. And now they've really elevated Scharfenberger.
Well, let me tell you a story. I did a blind tasting, and I called it Big Brother, Little Brother for a wine group a few years back. And we looked at the French versus the California version. And the winner of the night, it was done blindly, was the Anderson Valley Champagne was the wine of the night. It beat out Cristal. It beat out Dom.
No.
I poured them blindly.
It's good, but it's not that good.
I'm telling you, I poured them blindly. This is going back about 8 years ago, and we did Cristal and Anderson. We did, you name it, we've done them. And on that particular night.
And just in case the people from Roeder Estate are listening, because they own Scharfenberger as well, we'd love to do Roeder Estate on the show. Just saying.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Those wines have gotten more expensive.
My point is that the folks in Champagne have really translated their knowledge and experience to California properties, and you can get French quality Champagne out of California.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't used to be able to, but you can now.
But I thought the Blanc de Blanc was excellent. I generally do love Blanc de Blanc champagnes. They're just so sophisticated and interesting.
We keep saying champagne, but we mean sparkly wine here.
Well, pinkies up, folks.
Pinkies up.
Yeah. so well done. The minerality, the chalkiness, the salinity to it. Again, if you told me, you know, this came from Rem, I would go, yeah, of course it does. It's so well done, so well put together. The lemon curd is there, the brioche is there, the minerality is there, that salinity is there. It's got a lovely roundness to the palate. This is absolutely delicious. Yeah. I'm Scharfenberger, I'm stunned. I mean, really, honestly, guys, you should be buying Scharfenberger. This is for the money. You're not going to get a better sparkling wine out of California for damn sure.
I would agree. The last couple times I've had sort of, you know, pick it up and go California sparkling, they've been good, yeah, but not blow your socks off. But this is a step up from what most people are buying.
Like we've been discussing, 20 years ago, sparkling wines in California, They were working. They were trying. They were doing everything they could.
I think the Roeder was always a step up. But now the Roeder owns this.
They have all really, as a class, all stepped of them up. Have stepped up so far to the point where they're challenging their French rivals. I mean, there's some amazing sparkling wine in California.
You wonder why so many French companies are buying California property.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not dumb. They've been doing it for a couple of hundred years. They figured it out. So we're going to be giving the Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our next house of sparkling wine. We're going to have Harm tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. Our Pierre-Nicolas Perrier and Rose Adelaide Jouet. So Perrier Jouet. We were saying Jouet earlier. Let me address that. There's an umlaut over the E. You have to pronounce the T. They shared a love of nature and the arts. She was the daughter of a Norman Calvados producer, and he was an Epernay-based cork supplier, vintner, and botanist. A year after their wedding in 1811, the year of the comet, they founded Maison Perrier Jouet. Shipments to Great Britain began in 1815 and to the United States in 1837. Their son, Charles Perrier, a botanist like his father, took over the house in 1848. And in 1858, Eugene Galice and Charles Perrier's brother-in-law became a partner in Perrier Jouet. In 1878, Eugene's son, Louis Adolphe Octave Galice, and his brother Henri inherited the company. And in Paris, during that period of Belle Epoque, the start of the 20th century, the Octave meant Emile Gallet, one of the pioneers of Art Nouveau movement, and commissioned him to design a bottle for Perrier Jouet. The four magnums featured a spray of Japanese white anemones were delivered in 1902, and the design became an emblem of the house. You've all seen that beautiful hand-painted bottle.
Unfortunately, we don't have one today, but yeah, that's
what we're drinking today.
That is so, I mean, everybody knows that bottle.
That's how I brought in the Millennium.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. Good stuff. So we're drinking their base wine, and this is the Perrier Jouet.
Base wine, like it's, yeah, okay.
Actually, we're not drinking their base wine first. I think we're drinking the
Grand Brut.
The Grand Brut next. This is the Blanc de Blancs, but this is not their vintage Blanc de Blanc. The vintage Blanc de Blanc is way, way above this. We're drinking the non-vintage, 12.5% ABV, 100% Chardonnay, dosage of 8 grams per liter of sugar. Up to 15% of the wines are reserve wines aged for at least 3 years on the lees. It's a pale gold. The nose, tons of flowers. Flowers, like I can't identify them. I mean, there's acacia there. There's honeysuckle there, I guess. But I get a lot of citrus on the nose. That lemon curd we heard earlier. But here, to me, it's still more like the lemon peel. Lemon peel and orange peel. A little bit of orange marmalade on the nose. On the palate, it's so minerally and fresh. Very mellow. Tons of good golden apple. A little bit of sweet lemon and orange, and then but soft and slightly salty. Medium long finish, but it's not my favorite Blanc de Blancs because I'm spoiled because I've had the vintage stuff.
Yeah,
Maury, what did you think on this one?
You know, as much as I hate to admit it, Harm, I think you're right all the way around. For me, this was a bit of a citrus bomb. I found it to be fairly citrusy and a little less, a little more one note than some of the other offerings we've had. I found there was some nice minerality. There's definitely a hint of brioche there. I agree with you on the nose with the floral nature, the color, again, super light, finish medium. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's delicious. I would definitely not pour it out. Very well made. And definitely, you know, you could sit and drink this all day and all night. Justin.
So on the nose, I found it was very floral. A little bit fishy, and I got scallions.
I don't know what's
would
going on with
you. Would you wash your hands?
Yeah. On the palate, it was like...
I think he had sushi before he came here.
Nah.
I don't want to know what he's been doing before
he came here. And the palate, it was like La Croix lemon, and the finish was lemony.
It's not that lemony like La Croix. Come on, man. It's got a great citrus note.
It's very citrusy.
Like those floral notes are really balancing it out. Bob, what do you think?
I think it's delicious. I think they did a very good job. I mean, on my note, I'm on the nose, I'm getting a lot of flowers. Mostly like white honeysuckle.
There's a hint of pear there coming now.
There's definitely pear there. There's pear. It's more of an overripe pear.
Yeah.
Once they get soft and sticky.
But it's not as sweet. No. It's not the acidity is coming out from that citrus note.
The minerality on this is really it's really excellent. I enjoy the minerality, the salinity comes through. It's got a beautiful color on it.
I want oysters again. I just think I'm craving oysters today.
You got oyster crackers.
Yeah. Medium finish.
Crackers.
On it. There you go.
That should be your brand name.
Yeah, absolutely lovely.
That would be Prime Rib Incident. That's another story.
Yeah,
for another
yeah that's yeah, yeah. Prime Rib. Yeah, we'll tell you all about that. Yeah. But
that's an off the air story,
right?
Absolutely wonderful, wonderful champagne. So, we're going to be giving the Perrier Jouet Blanc de Blanc a well deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next one. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The next wine will be the Perrier Jouet Grand Brut, non-vintage. 12.5% ABV. It is 20% Chardonnay, 40% Pinot Noir, and 40% Pinot Meunier. The dosage is 8 to 10 grams per liter, and it contains up to 15% of reserve wines. Now, of note here, as with the previous wine, this is aged for 3 years on the lees. We didn't hear anything from Scharfenberger about how long they leave their wines on the lees.
No, they did. Say 2 years.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
The reserve wines tend to be 10 years, right? Or 7, something like that?
I don't really know if there's a set number. But nonetheless, aging on the lees is what's going to give that brioche, that yeast, that bready kind of nature to the wines. Anyway, this wine has a beautiful silvery gold, very light color in the glass. It's got beautiful aromas, and we'll be back.
The destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were discussing some lovely Perrier Jouet.
Jouet. Ouais. It's Moët Chandon Perrier Jouet. You got an umlaut over the E, you pronounce the T. I was told by snotty French people. They know.
Were they really French people, or they were from like Quebec?
No, these were French people from France.
Actually, okay,
they're not champagne representatives.
Yeah, so they're not eating poutine.
Okay. So who's the who came up with that cheese eating surrender monkeys?
Don't look at me.
Yeah,
don't look at me.
It was a cheese eating surrender monkey.
Yeah.
Okay, right. As we so were saying,
up, Maury.
on the nose, some delicate floral aromas. There's definitely some fresh fruit and hints of buttery brioche and vanilla. And again, my philosophy is that that's coming from the 3 years aging on the lees. On the palate, it's crisp, it's light. There's definitely a freshness and a crisp acidity. It's got a medium to long finish. I found this wine to be a really nice step up from the previous wine. There was nothing
wrong.
Which
is surprising, because usually the Blanc de Blancs is something better. I prefer more.
I agree with you. I said that earlier. The Blanc de Blanc is usually a step up. But in this particular case, today at this table, the Grand Brut just hits my palate a little nicer than the Blanc de Blanc. Harm, you want to elaborate on that?
There's nothing to elaborate. You said it right. Okay. We've got three more wines after this. I'll keep it short. Delicate floral aromas. The brioche is there. It's just more generous. It's more, it's got a longer finish, much longer finish than the Blanc de Blancs, which is crazy. And it's just a better balanced wine. I really enjoyed this one.
That just goes to show you got a taste.
It's less expensive than the Blanc de Blanc. It's really wonderful. Justin.
So right off the bat, I got some weird notes.
Well, I expected that.
Iron magnet shavings, light iodine, and fresh biscuits. But that all faded off.
At least the fish went away.
The fish went away.
It's coming back. Don't worry.
It all faded off, and now it's just, you know, light floral.
I'm going to take my wife to get some oysters now. As soon as I leave here, I'm out of here.
Where? Ten fish down the street.
Shuck and dive. Shuck and dive.
I do like Shuck and Dive. I haven't been there in eons.
Two blocks down the street.
Yeah, but Shuck and Dive, the oysters are so good. Go on, Justin.
Yeah.
So, you know, then it just became like normal after a half hour in the glass. So pour it cold, but leave it alone for a half hour. You're going to get some weird notes. Reminds me of, you know, third grade again.
All right. Well, we are going to give the Perrier-Jouët Grand Brut a well-deserved 4 sips.
Yeah, it's surprising. It was just really outclassed.
Erase it, yeah.
Maybe the bottle is off. Maybe Perrier-Jouët should send us another bottle of the Blanc de Blanc.
Usually the Blanc de Blanc is my jam, but
yeah,
the Brut definitely has it this time. So we're going to
outclassed it.
Let's have Justin tell us about our next one from Perrier-Jouët.
So we're going to talk about
Jouët.
Perrier-Jouët Blaton Rosé.
Blason.
Ouais. Non-vintage. 12.5% alcohol by volume. It's 25% Chardonnay, 50% Pinot Noir, 25% Pinot Meunier. Dosage was 8 to 10 grams per liter, and it's up to 15% reserve wines, aged for 3 years on the lees. 10 to 15% Pinot Noir wine is added for color. The color of this was salmon pink.
I got more berry than salmon, but you're close.
On the nose, it was like a bouquet of like zesty fruits and just a little bit of pomegranate.
Pour on some the more of that.
Palate, it was like a little party in my mouth. It, you know, finished really nicely. It was like fruity, kind of reminded me of a carbonated Capri Sun.
And, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. It's so fruity.
Yeah.
You know what? What's that?
Fruit juicy.
What's that bouquet of those bouquets where they send you like fruit on sticks? What's that called?
Edible arrangements.
They smell like that.
Fruit flowers.
Yeah.
The finish for me was all mid and back palate, but it was sweet and pleasant.
I found the finish to be a little bit short. That was the only thing. I wanted more on the finish. It just sort of, to me, it just sort of stopped.
You just drink abruptly. More.
Then you buy the vintage champagne. Spend $400 on it instead of
Well, 50. I agree.
You
I mean,
it.
Hint, hint. I think that these wines showed beautifully, but I'm hopeful that next year the folks at Perrier-Jouët will supply us with some of their vintage selections to review. But I thought these for non-vintage champagnes and sparkling wines, again, the French or champagnes, were fantastic and showed extremely well. And I would agree with you, Harm. The vintage ones, you pay a big upcharge, but you will definitely get an improvement in quality. But it's a lot more dollar to get that raisin quality.
It's not, but you, there's a thing. They have vintage champagne and they have tête de cuvée. Tête de cuvée is their higher end, their special.
That's when
reserve.
The money goes crazy.
That's where the money goes crazy. You can buy vintage like Veuve Clicquot for $100, whereas the Grand Dame would be $2 to $3.
You can buy vintage Perrier Jouet for a certain price, but you know the flower bottle costs you more money.
Yeah.
The
hand painted flower ball.
The tête de cuvée is always going to be more expensive, and that's just how it is. Deal with it.
Yeah. But they make less.
But honestly, their non vintage is fantastic.
But they're not. That's my point. Their non vintage is value priced. Yeah. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck, and you got to pay a lot more. The Blason Rosé
this year is so much better than previous releases.
Right. Yeah. But you have to pay a lot more to get a little step up in quality when you go to tête de cuvée.
But the flower bottle will give you the fishy notes on the next show.
It will not give you fishy notes. Well, I have no idea what's wrong with you today.
Well, we're going to give the Perrier Jouet Blason Rosé a well-deserved 4 sips. This
That's
is
classified.
Absolutely delicious, guys. So this brings us to our next champagne house. So founded in 1760 by François Delamotte, Lanson is the 4th oldest champagne house. In 1798, François was succeeded by his son, Nicolas Louis, who then partnered with Jean-Baptiste Lanson, who gave the house the Lanson name. On December 4th, 1900, Maison Lanson received the royal warrant from the Queen Victoria. So, you know, it's got to be pretty good, because if there's anyone who loves champagne, it's definitely the British.
Vicky.
The British love champagne.
Vicky, who ruled India.
Champagne
and rubies and diamonds.
So, Lanson also supplies champagne to the royal courts of Sweden and Spain. Maison Lanson has been the official champagne and partner of Wimbledon in 2001 and forward, serving over 150,000 glasses of Lanson champagne each year at the championships. The house remained family-owned up until 1980 and has been owned by the Lanson BCC Group since 2006. Hervé Dantin, the current cellar master, joined the house in 2013.
Every time I see the name Hervé, I think Hervé Villechaize. The plane!
Boss, the plane! Boss, it is awesome, yeah. So what we have here is the Lanson Le Green Bayard Organic. This is a non-vintage, 12.5% ABV, 46% Pinot Noir, 36% Chardonnay, and 18% Pinot Meunier. Aged 4 years, the dosage is 6 grams per liter, no malolactic fermentation. This is the first champagne to carry the organic certification that allows it to state made with organic grapes on the label in the USA. The Le Green Bioorganic is exclusively made from grapes from the Malmaison Estate, a 16-hectare pilot vineyard.
Plot. Pilot, not plot. The plot, not pilot.
That's what I said, pilot, yeah.
It's a 16-hectare plot. Oh, pilot vineyard.
Jeez. Yeah, pilot vineyard, yeah.
The 16-hectare pilots barely fit in the plane.
Situated in the heart of the Valle de Manor.
We've been drinking.
The Valle Mar. So it constitutes one of the largest biodynamically farmed estates in Champagne and demonstrates Maison Lanson's commitment to sustainable viticulture. So it's got a beautiful color to it, just like a straw golden color to it.
The nose. Wow.
It's really come forward since it's warmed up. On the nose, the black currants are leaping forward. Definitely the pears are there. There's a citrus. There's like a bitter orange and a lemon. And a really nice minerality to it. And on the palate, on the palate, the minerality definitely jumps forward. There's a nice salinity to it. There's definitely a citrus, a Meyer's lemon. The salinity comes forward again. A little bit of a tropical fruit note underneath the salinity.
I was wondering when you're going to mention that tropical fruit, because I got a lot of it.
Yeah. It didn't come forward when we first opened it because it was blistering cold, but now that it's warmed up.
By the time I got to it, I was taking my time, so I got it earlier on. Mm.
Yeah, there's definitely a tropical fruit there. What'd you think, Arm?
That tropical fruit is lychee, my friend. Lychee and mango. So
I think you're dead on with that. It's definitely lychee.
It's beautiful blackcurrant, like you said, but I didn't get the blackcurrant earlier on, but it was colder.
Yeah.
Now, lychee, and I got toast and pear notes. Lots of pear, a little bit of peach, and the minerality you kept coming back to, I agree with. And I get, especially when it's colder, but now even still there, toasted cumin. Lightly toasted cumin. Like, I remember this. I know my mom, you know, when she makes the harum garam masala at home, she'll toast the spices. This is toasted cumin. And a little bit of, like, star anise.
He's not far off on that.
Yeah.
Toasted cumin, toasted star anise.
It's not overwhelming, but it's definitely an undercurrent. Lychee,
salt, the spices. It's got a long finish, which we've been missing in the earlier wines. This is beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Justin?
On the nose, I got smoked Wheaties.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's a wheat-based cereal.
I know what Wheaties are. What are smoked Wheaties?
Put it on the smoker for about a half hour. I did.
You're such a weirdo.
You smoke everything just for the hell of it, see what happens.
I think you've been smoking something else.
Yeah. And then on the palate, I got like fruit and cream of wheat, different cereal.
You know, I don't get the cream of wheat, but I kind of see what you're saying.
Kind of goes to the finish.
Oh, yeah, there's something there.
And then it ends with orange zest after the cream of wheat note.
Okay.
I enjoyed it very, very much.
What did you think, Maury?
I'd like to say that to me, this is the wine that was the most transforming throughout the morning. When this wine was straight out of the bottle, I really was... It was closed.
It was weird.
It was very cold. It was very one note.
It was green.
It was green.
Yeah.
It was just...
Once it warmed up, wow.
Not really very pleasant. So yeah. I would say, do not drink this wine too cold. Do not rush it. Be patient, and you'll be rewarded with really interesting stuff. So while I initially gave it a very low rating and it came up, I think as we've been tasting this wine,
the most divisive wine. Some people gave very high ratings, and Maury gave a very low rating. I was kind of in the middle, but it's come up.
Well, I got to try this in New York at the Wine Spectators big event, and I was very interested in it, and it was not blistering cold like when we first opened it. So this one has absolutely changed. So we're going to give the Lanson Le Green Bio-Organic a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's have Harm tell us about our last one.
Okay, thanks, Bob. I'll be quick. We're running out of time, I think. So Lanson Le Vintage 2012, it's 12.5% ABV, 52% Pinot Noir, 48% Chardonnay, 10 years of aging. The dosage is 7 grams per liter. It's a Brut exclusively made from Grand and Premier Cru. Verzenay, Aïe, Bouzy, I can't pronounce that next one, Merlot sur Aïe.
Yeah, my friend sucks. I'm sorry.
Verzi, Avise.
Please forgive us.
Cremant, Le Mensil sur Roger. That's where Salon is made. Yeah, that's good stuff. Trapail. I don't never heard of Trapail. Yellow color. It had some nice bubbles. Not like some of these were the bubbles have gone away by now, but this is that spice I got on the previous one is all there. Candied fruit, almond notes. Those toasted spices on the nose and on the palate. This is the most distinctive one of all of the night. Beautiful texture, great acidity. It's got. I don't think they say anything about. They don't say anything about. What do you call malolactic fermentation? But this got 10 years of aging, so there's a creamy texture from the oak, and it's just a beautiful, well integrated wine with full of brioche and fruit, and. Toasted spice. I get all those spices coming out. Tell me, what weirdness did you taste, Justin?
So I got dried fruits on the nose and those little shrimp in the fried rice, the dried ones. And the palate was intense, clean, fruity. I got blueberries in the beginning. Those faded off. And the finish was like cream of wheat with like lemon preserves.
We got a lot of cream of wheat today. Maury?
Well, he's still thinking about breakfast.
Yeah.
I love this wine. I thought it was my favorite of the morning. Very nicely done. It had a little bit more color. I would say the last one was almost colorless. This one had a nice little hint of gold. I agree with everything you've said about the palate. I love the hints of almonds on the nose, the apricots. And I was referring to Harm, not you. But thank you for taking credit. I love the mouthfeel. I love the palate. It's got some nice viscosity. It's got a long finish. To me, this is everything I want in a champagne. I love vintage champagne. I love the fact that it's been aged 10 years on the lees. It just gives a dimensionality that I just really enjoy.
It gives it that backbone that you don't get with most other champagne. Correct. That's the thing. And Lenson has always been a favorite house of mine. I don't know why, but it was one that always sort of sang to me. This one is absolutely delicious. And we're going to give the Lenson Le Vintage 2012 a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That went up from our original rating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our original rating wasn't this good. Is it warmed up?
It just once it warmed up,
but both the Lansons came up. Yeah. So, again, temperature and time is the mantra.
Mm-hmm. And, again, we try them blistering cold because that's how most people do it. So
I hate spinning,
and we can allow them to warm up. And we can't cool them down in the middle of the show.
Yeah, we've got all afternoon, so... It is what it is, but in any event, so thanks for joining us. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another bubbly day in the basement. Can't complain. Thank you.
And thank you, Harm.
You know, I would thank you, Bob, but I've got a big bill coming for I take my wife to dinner tonight. Thanks for putting oysters in my head. Was it you or Justin with the fish?
I think
you know what? The fish, but the champagne. I want some oysters.
Yeah. It was the sparkling wine, please. Oh, delicious.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a one-tan hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.